House Committee on Revenue for May 30th, 2017 will come to order. Colleagues, the three bills scheduled only for work session are not ready today, and they'll be taken off. I want you to be alert that 1 hour notice means that we can post bills for hearing or work session with an hour's notice. And so the fact that these bills are taken off does not mean that they may not come back quickly if they become ready to work. House Bill 2286, that needs amendment, so it's off. House Bill 3298 is not ready, that's so it comes off. And House Bill 2087 needs an amendment, which we haven't received yet, so it's off as well. We're going to open the public hearing on Senate Bill 845. And Mazin's going to tell us all about that one.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 845 comes to you from your counterpart of the Senate. And 845, what it attempted to do is fix a few issues that kind of sprung up with the distribution and the marijuana revenue. So just to summarize these things quickly, when Measure 91 passed, it's just so we would go back from where the issues originated. When Measure 91 passed, it passed with a tax on harvest per ounce taxation of $35. Now, the 15 and 16 session has changed a lot of the complexion and regulation of Measure 91. And after a few bills, you had about 250 pages of new ORS language, and then ended up with a whole different way of looking at regulation and taxation of marijuana. The most important thing for this purpose is that it changed from the per ounce or per harvest tax to a new way of taxation, which is on point of sale. So it is on the price of the product that is being sold. Now, after having done all of these things and everything passed. Also, part of that arrangement was to allow for some cities and counties who choose to, and their vote on Measure 91 at one point was high enough to indicate that they were opposing the measure, to opt out if they choose out of the regulation of the product. Now, having said that, it kind of changed or created a new dynamics for the distribution of marijuana revenue, because 20% total of the revenue, 10% going to counties and 10% going to cities, were based on the population amount. Now, as the as the new regulations allowed for some to opt out, it becomes an issue that you are not going to send, or not to be sent for local governments who have opted out of the regulation scheme that has been improved or made by the 15th session and 16th session. So, As a solution for this, cities and counties, we worked together in a work group and put a new way of the how you do the distribution. Instead of doing it by licenses put into the city or the county. The problem that issue that became also that some cities or counties, for that matter, would have not opted out, but in the same time would not have licenses or establishments in that city or county. So basically, they were being kept out of the distribution without having to have chosen to be kept out of the distribution. So the solutions for that is what you have in the language in the distribution scheme for the cities and the counties. That will be on page 3 of the bill, as you would see, and that distribution becomes for the cities at the 75% to be distributed based on population, and 25% based on the licenses of the marijuana businesses defined in statutes. Now, for the counties, the solution for that issue was on 50% going for the what is known as the canopy size, which is the grow size for the marijuana, and 50% on other licenses in the county. The counties, and I'll probably speak to you later, they have this importance in sending amounts of revenue or distributions to counties that have more heavy concentration on production rather than only retail. So that's issue number one, and that's a solution for issue number one. Issue number two that came out is that since Measure 91 and when the new regulation happened, there was no enough knowledge about number of licenses that you would have, and that those licenses would be the basis for the new distribution. So it was expected that at least for 2 years, or for the amount from the what's so called the early start until the end of this biennium, that the distribution of the revenue will continue being on the same presumed distribution scheme that came in Measure 91, which is based on population. However, because the way the laws were written, it required that the OLCC money that was borrowed from the liquor fund be repaid first, and that repayment did not or will not have occurred until the end of this biennium. So by then, the language of the law kind of carried it, the amount that were meant to be distributed on population basis, carried it into the new way of doing things, kind of by and sidestepping all this preliminary stage. So what this bill does, and this is would be in the last three sections that you would have, is that it requires that the amounts that were collected on or before the end of this biennium, which is end of June, would be distributed according to the old formula, which is the population-based only formula, and that it would, that money would be effective as of the end of the biennium, and all the money that came through would be subject to that distribution. So that's a second issue that this bill deals with. And then we came to the idea of also how do we understand some of the main the distribution of this bill was meant to go to education in that sense. However, the time of the authorship of Measure 91, it sent 40% of the marijuana revenue to the Common School Fund. And as you know, the Common School Fund is the type of fund that works as an endowment for the school funding, and not necessarily what is known as the State School Fund. So that money was meant to go into that direction, which means that the effects of this money will not only be realized except in the interest that is being paid from the Common School Fund. So the fix for that was that we changed it to go to the State School Fund. However, your Senate colleagues thought that since it is an education and it is also meant to be that way, so 30% go to the State School Fund and 10% to the Community College Support Fund. Basically 40% still in education, but 30 to the schools and 10 to colleges. The fourth issue that we've looked at and basically discussed with the state economist and the state economist office and LFO, so that we would want like to have these revenues in the marijuana collections to be part of the regular forecasting process that is done. And as you saw from the last time, the May forecast, the state economist also included some of those forecasts and assumptions in their publication and in their release. So that became, or is becoming, part of their regular work, quarterly work, and regular business process. And we have put this into this bill to allow them to perform that function and give them the support that from data and other requirements, both from the Department of Revenue and from the OLCC, to be able to do that. And they did have put together a consultation group to be able to do that, give them the information, and also help them in trying to forecast that process. So that is being done. And the last issue that we have in this bill is that the distribution process, although to the cities and counties, did not change, but for everybody else kind of got slightly changed in a way that it is not a distribution in the sense anymore, but it is part of the allocation process that Ways and Means does. And that's instead of distribution, now the Department of Revenue certifies the amounts, and distribution or the allocation happens through the budget process. However, it is in that that we have, in the spirit of having it, the dedication maintained as a whole, we have the as you see, that the amounts to that needs to be going to these different places indicated that they need only be used, money only be used in the for these purposes. Further, you would have in the section that we would say that these monies all should not be a replacement for so you're not taking an amount and putting another one, but it should be in addition to all other monies that come in. Of course, these are the policy direction or kind of intent of where the committees would like, and not necessarily prescription. So these are the issues, the five different issues that this bill takes care of. While it was coming from the Senate to you, we found there is another Senate bill that passed, and that in a way created a
conflict?
A conflict, contradiction within in the bill, and that's where you have a dash A7, and that conflict amendment is kind of tries to put these from that conflict trajectory, if you will, and ask the City of Council if they would like to tell you more about these conflict and how this amendment actually fixes it, because the idea is it takes slices off the top of the revenue an amount for to allow for the tracking of both medical and commercial, and it allocates an amount of money, about $1.5 million per quarter or so on, for that money before anything else is being done.
Great. Thank you. Yes, question, please.
Thank you, Chair. Nathan, could you just clarify for me the 10% that's being diverted from the state school fund to community college support fund? Is that money general fund support, or is that specific to, is there direction in the statute to for specific purposes?
In the amount of money, the 10% is, and all this money is somehow the language says that it should be in addition of rather than in, uh-huh, instead of or replacement of. Now, you know how these things happen is sometimes it works that way, and sometimes it doesn't. It depends on the time and space, I guess, which session Ways and Means requires to do what kind of replacement to which funds. But that's the intent, I guess.
So follow up just to clarify. So to further clarify, it's not tied to a specific program within the community colleges. It's general community college support.
Right. That is correct.
Okay.
Yeah, ORS 341.620, I assume that's what we're talking about. Yeah. Thank you. So let's hear about the conflict amendment. And then we'll take the substantive testimony. Thank you for your patience in coming today.
Chair Barnhart, members of the committee, my name is Mark Mayer, Deputy Legislative Counsel. May I briefly address Representative Marsh's question?
Please do.
If you look at the specific language in this particular amendment, you see that all of this money is supposed to be used for the purposes for which monies in these different accounts may be used. This is a new formulation of language that LFO came up with and worked with the Legislative Revenue Office as well as our office, where generally different accounts specify the purposes for which the monies can be used. This way, the monies are going to be used for those purposes, or they're statutorily confined to being used for those purposes, without having to replicate all of the language that is in those other statutes. So again, there is statutory confinement for these different accounts, and if you go and look at those specific accounts, you can see the uses to which those monies are to be put. I think one reason our office felt like we needed to come down and speak to the conflict amendment is conflict amendments are generally not substantive. This one is. As you know, Senate Bill 1057 passed both chambers earlier this month. I believe it was signed by the governor today. That bill, in it, the Joint Marijuana Committee made the decision to take off the top of marijuana revenue from the tax that was imposed, $5 million a year, or up to $5 million a year, to pay for tracking throughout the state for basically all different types of marijuana producers, processors, whether they're under the medical program or the recreational program. The language in that matched up with the language in Senate Bill 845 as originally written, which was that there were going to be distributions made to these different accounts and to these different entities. But then through processes of negotiations, the language in Senate Bill 845 changed to its current language, where it now reads there's going to be monies transferred to the cities and counties, and monies that are going to be used for the purposes for which monies in these different accounts can be used, which is the allocation language that Mazin earlier discussed. Read in conjunction with the new language in 845, I think that there's a pretty strong argument with 1057 as it now stands, that the monies only come off the top of what's being distributed to the cities and counties. So 5% of the 20% going to the cities and counties. So when you're considering the amendment today, it is a conflict in that there was a purpose with which Senate Bill 1057 was written. The 5% is supposed to come off the top of all the marijuana tax monies. But now, with the way this bill has advanced through the process, as well as Senate Bill 1057, in order to retain that intent, the language needs to change to reflect the transfer and use language that's currently in 845. So are there any questions on that?
Yeah, I have problems understanding percentages, and they're used in different ways. Is this 1/20th of the total amount available, this 5%, or is it 5% of something else?
I'm sorry, Chair Barnhart, members of the committee, if I misspoke, it
I don't
is
know
not,
that you did. But.
It is not 5%, if I misspoke, and I don't know if I did. It is $5 million per year.
Million.
It is no more than $5 million per year that will be used for tracking.
Hence the $1.25 million per quarter.
Quarter.
In the law that's being modified.
Correct. I'm sorry. I think I did misspeak.
Okay. Well, that makes it much simpler. And this is probably outside of your purview, but maybe you know the answer. I'm assuming that part of the reason why we passed that other law, which I had not very much to do with, was to deal with the federal concern about export and to make sure that we were accurately tracking a product that was illegally grown in Oregon and distributed in Oregon. I think that's what that original bill was about.
Chair Barnhart, members of the committee, I believe that was the motive, but some of the other people who are going to come up and talk about it substantively can...
We'll be able to answer
they'll
that.
Be able to tell you the motive behind it.
Okay.
I know the motive, but I'm not supposed to speak about it.
No, you're probably right. Thank you. Any other questions about the conflict amendment? It's a long statute, but the only part that really counts is the part on the bottom of page 2 and the top of page 3, I think.
Correct.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate the testimony and the clarification. Let's hear from the counties and the cities. Rob Bovette, Wendy Johnson, please.
Chair Barnhart, members of the committee, for the record, Rob Bovette, Legal Counsel, Association of Oregon Counties. I can say what Mark wasn't able to say. 1057, at least the component we're talking about here, was all about accountability in the medical marijuana production system in Oregon.
Yeah.
And in fact, last Wednesday, I was in the meeting with the U.S. Department of Justice, and the fact that that bill had passed was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So that was very significant in our conversations and an important bill to get through this building right now while we're under some pretty heavy scrutiny by the feds. That being said, the conflict amendments are, in fact, important to give clear guidance to DOR so they know exactly what to do, make these two bills work together. We thought about doing the conflict amendments in the final, which is probably going to be the final marijuana bill, Senate Bill 56, but if that one doesn't pass, then we're kind of messed up. So figure we better get the conflict amendments done straight up in 845 as well. Don't have anything really to add to the summary that you've heard from Mazin and from Mark. It's pretty accurate. It cleans up all the language that we basically have been avoiding cleaning up for 3 years, but now we're facing distributions and we need clean language for DOR. So I would strongly encourage you to pass Senate Bill 845A with the dash A7 amendment so we can get all this stuff cleaned up and taken care of.
Thank you.
Chair Barnhart, members of the committee, Wendy Johnson here on behalf of the League of Oregon Cities. The League also supports the underlying bill with the dash 7 amendments. The forecast piece in the section 1 is obviously very important for cities as they try to figure out their projections to do their budgets, and they're working on those right now. I know some of you have received calls from constituents saying, why haven't our cities and counties been paid? This bill is the bill that we need to pass so that we will get paid. Although there have been state taxes for over a year now, cities and counties have not been paid yet. And the reason is because, as Mazin explained, the loan issue with OLCC, so this needs to happen. The bill would change the distribution formula a bit, and for cities it would be 75% based on population, 25% based on licensing. We may come back in subsequent sessions as this sort of shakes out. There have been a lot of licenses issued and not all shops have gone up. We don't know exactly how that's all going to fit and whether that's going to feel like a fair formula for cities, but our cities preferred predictability and per capita is what they're used to. They can figure that out a year ahead and figure out how that will look. And so that's why it's 75% based on per capita. So we would support that. To get the distribution, the bill provides for a certification formula, because the bill also says if you prohibit in your city, you don't get any state tax money. So OLCC, we work with OLCC, and we support the way it's written that we need to do a quarterly, because we get paid quarterly, we need to do a quarterly certification saying we don't prohibit in our city, so therefore we are entitled to this payment. We're hoping it will be an easy certification. I'm hoping an email, because trying to get cities to remember to do a quarterly certification is just training a new process. But the statute provides great flexibility for them to figure out the form that we need to do that filing. Another important part of the bill is the last section, or towards the last section, section 6. It says that for all the money that's been received to date and up until July, that we won't use this new formula. We will just do straight per capita, and we also will not look at whether you banned or not, because these monies have been just going into a pot, and elections have been happening for, sorry to use the pun, these monies have been, or the cities and counties have been having elections on whether to ban or not throughout the year, and so it's not really fair to pick and choose then. So the old law had said per capita, and it wouldn't be enforced unless we had that section. So everyone will get a distribution for the first year and a half's worth of taxes. That will also, we think, provide an incentive for cities and counties to know, well, this is what you would get if you hadn't banned going forward. So it will provide some sort of numbers there. But then going forward, it would be based on this new formula. And if you ban, you don't get a distribution. Just to keep in mind, this is about the state tax distribution. It's not the local part. But we're thinking both of these practically will be coming together once the process gets going. The DAS will be writing one check with both numbers combined, and that will help with the confidentiality issues that we may be having to come back to you later about. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Questions? Yes, Representative Smith-Warner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not sure this is for you guys, but I was curious about the change of the school fund distribution from 40% goes to the schools versus to 30% to schools and 10% to the community college fund. Were any of you involved in the negotiations or conversations about that?
Chair Barnhart, Representative Smith-Warner, the league was not. Ours has been 10% from beginning to end, of 10% for cities.
Okay. Chair Barnhart, Representative Smith-Warner, the same. That was a decision made by your Senate colleagues and Senate Revenue in terms of how the 40% to education should be distributed. We were not part of those conversations.
I will note that there is nobody here today either for the schools or for the community colleges. Just so you know.
Perhaps I should check in with my Senate colleagues.
For whatever that's worth. Apparently, I'm looking at the overview and the measure history. This bill appears to have started in Finance and Revenue, and then it comes to us. It hasn't been to any of the joint marijuana committees, this particular bill. In your view, both of you have studied this issue quite a bit, haven't you? In your view, does this conform to the spirit of the original initiative, recognizing that some of the language had to change because it wasn't going to work?
Chair Barnhart, members of the committee, I believe it does. I think you may recall you held hearings on House Bill 2203 and 2204, which
yes.
were your counterparts. And, of course, I had amendments, and I had actually crafted one of those bills to reallocate people's money. That's my best way of putting it. And I got the clear message from you, all the entire committee, that nobody was taking anybody's money. And so 845 means that nobody's taking anybody's money. And you still have the same 40% to education, 25% to A&D treatment and prevention, 15% to state police, 10% to cities, 10% to counties. That's still the same. Now, the details about the sub-distributions and the account names and the fund names and of the 40% part going to the state school fund, part going to the community, that's all details. But the core distribution is still the same, because we got the strong message that we weren't going to be able to take anybody else's money.
Yes, I recall that. Thank you. Yeah, thank you for the recollection. I do note that, in partial answer to Representative Smith-Warner's question, that the fund that the monies go into are funds within the general fund. That is the state education funds. The state school fund is one of them, and the other one is the community college fund. This community college fund, at least, is defined as being a fund within the general fund. So the Ways and Means Committee is still going to have complete control over the way that other funds are distributed into those specific funds within the general fund as they consider the budget. At least that's my understanding of the way this process works. I'm getting head nods from others who ought to know. Any other questions? Yeah, Representative Benz, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Going to Section 6 on page 4.
Yeah.
In addition to, and not in lieu of, who makes sure of that? Is that a Ways and Means function?
That's the distribution for the first year and a half's money.
Yes.
Yeah. Representative Benz, this is an intent statement almost rather than a direction, because as you know, Ways and Means could slice and dice the money in multiple ways that it chooses and finds necessary at different times. So, but this is in a way, so it's in line 22, basically, that's what you're talking about, in page 4, line 22, sub 6, intent of the Legislative Assembly that this money be transferred from. So, in the discussions that we had in order to whether we actually make the transfers or allow for the flexibility of Ways and Means to allocate, to transfer versus allocate, this was the compromise language, or part of the compromise language that this came as, you know, this should be in addition to, although it is not being transferred, it is not being actually sent to the place, but it is kept and the intent of it is meant to be here. So this is not what you usually do, for an example, when it came to, let's say, tobacco money, because you distribute exactly to the different places. But it is, how do you say, reasonable. Mm-hmm. I would have done it differently, but.
Well, just to follow up on Representative Benz's question, that this actually will require the transfer to cities and counties of an amount that's specific, won't it?
I'm sorry?
It will require a specific amount to be distributed to cities and counties, won't it?
The cities and counties are
calculated based on this
the
formula.
The ones are basically getting the 10% transfer to them. The other uses, which you have the drug abuse, mental health, state police, and community college and school fund, the old language that seemed to be way, even when it went to the common school fund, it says transfer exactly in the same way that you would transfer to cities and counties, which means that you send the money to the account,
mm-hmm.
and then the account happens in a different way. Now this language says you certify the amount in the marijuana fund, and you keep it there until the time when it comes to allocate it through the Ways and Means process. However, you need to have 5% going to the money in the account. For example, if you look at page 4, at page 4, line 4, say E, 5% of the money in the account must be solely for the purpose related to. Mm-hmm. So it's alcohol amount that you only need to use it for the purposes that account is used for. So, what we're basically telling Ways and Means is you need to maintain that level of distribution.
Okay.
However, we'll also give you the flexibility to allocate as seen fit at that time.
All right.
So it is not what you usually do in distributing, for example, alcohol account or tobacco amount or so on, but it is something that needed to be
interesting. Well, look, this is frankly just a quick comment. I think this is an interesting way of making certain that the fund is not part of the general fund. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't get tangled up then with the impediments that the general fund suffers from as a result of constitutional rules that we have in place. There was a couple of hands down here, and I think Representative Marsh was one.
Thank you, Chair. I just have a logistical question that I'm sure you experts can answer. When we're talking about a city or county that has prohibited a licensing, there are various licenses involved here. There's retails, wholesales, production, blah, blah, blah. So to get the money, do they have to have, if they have exempted any one of those licenses, are they prohibited from getting a share?
Chair Barnhart, Representative Marsh, I'll let Wendy answer for cities. For counties, there's essentially two pots, pun intended, uh-huh. I guess. There is a half of the 10% is a production pot,
right.
And it'll be based upon your canopy in your county compared to all other canopies in all other counties. And then there is all other licensees pot. So if a county opted out of any license category except production, they would get nothing out of that second pot, but they would be able to share in the production pot. If they opted out of production, then they wouldn't get any share of the production pot.
Okay. So,
there's kind of a two-level disentitlement.
Follow-up, Chair?
Yes, please.
So to clarify, on the 50%, we understand the production. Obviously, if there's production, they've been allowed, presumably. The other licenses, so you have to have allowed for all of those activities.
Chair Barnhart, Representative Marsh, correct. There's actually three other categories. There's wholesalers, retailers, and processors. And if you mm-hmm. opt out of any of those three, you don't get to share in the pot related to those three.
Okay. Thank you. It's the same.
Chair Barnhart, Representative Marsh, actually for cities, it's if you prohibit any of them, you receive none. Okay. That seemed to be more of the intent, and we don't have the same production issues that the counties have. It tends to be more in the other licenses, so we count all licenses the same.
Okay. Thank you.
This doesn't actually require that anybody be set up to do any of these things, does it? Simply that you're not prohibiting them.
Chair Barnhart, members of the committee, that's correct. It just is a prohibition on a distribution if you prohibit any of the license types or any of the processes or premises that require a license. Yeah.
Right. Thank you. Representative Smith-Warner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to go back to I have another question about the distribution percentage, and I think this might be to Mazen. So from the original, we talk a lot about voter intent with things like this having to do with ballot measures. In the original proposal, was there a percentage amount for education versus this other stuff? Or was all of that, it's a two-part question, or was all of that worked out through all of our work on the Joint Committee in 2015?
Smith-Warner, I think since Measure 91, mm-hmm. there was an allocation of 40% to education. Mm-hmm. However, it seems like Measure 91 authors were not necessarily clear how the different funds and which goes to what. So they allocated it to what's called the Common School Fund. And remember, the Common School Fund goes into it with the forests and the timber and so on. So and then when the fixes were happening and everybody was with the Joint Committee trying to fix it, and they were, I think, consulted and asked, they mentioned that their intent was for the money to go to education, per se, and not exactly to the Common School Fund in that specificity. So the Joint Committee still had too many things to do at that time, and it was mentioned, they skipped over this issue. And remember, the Joint Committee took a decision that the tax issues and tax policy and distribution policy, that this is something they don't want to deal with anymore, that this something is for the purview of the Revenue Committee, who understands this stuff a lot more. So they sent it to you and also to make that fix. So part of the finance and revenue at the Senate, that fix was taken up to move it from Common School Fund to the State School Fund, and also since it's all in the education arena, 10% going to the community college.
Yes, please.
Follow up. Yeah. So that change came out of the Senate Finance and Revenue, not out of Senate Education?
That's correct.
Okay. Well, I just...
But the bill has not been to Senate Education.
So it just came Senate Finance to the floor.
This is the second committee the bill has been to. Mm-hmm. And the first one was Finance and Revenue.
Well, I do want to just say again that that does seem to be the only significant change in the allocation percentage-wise from what we had been talking about before, and I'm just not sure that I'm comfortable with that. For example, why not the university fund?
Mm-hmm.
Why the community college fund? I mean, I would argue that the change all along, the understanding had been common school fund. They really meant state school fund, but didn't just quite know the language differences. But I think that there's an enormous difference between 40% to this common school fund versus 40% to the state school fund, and, well, no, just 30% to the state school fund and 10% to the community college fund. I'm concerned about that. I think that's a pretty significant policy choice that I'd like to make sure that we discuss more fully in this committee.
Thank you. I'd refer you to the revenue impact statement because it contains a list of the distributions based on the AMGROS version of the bill, which is the one we're talking about. And it looks to me like it's about $31 million for 15-17 and about $38 million for 17-19 allocated to schools and community colleges out of the total.
Mm-hmm. Well, wait a minute, why not the universities?
And, of course, you've raised a great question since the University of Oregon is in my district, and I'm always looking for ways to support the University of Oregon. I believe, of course, that a significant portion of this should go to the universities as well.
And to be clear, my argument is actually just the opposite, which I believe it should all be in the state school fund rather than trying to pick and choose amongst the higher education
entities. That was your
argument. But yes.
Well, I think if I may, that's probably one of the reasons for the long conversation on how this works in the budget process.
And Chair Barnhart, member of the committee, if I could just chime in. I certainly can't speak for cities, but for counties, we encourage you to have that policy discussion and decision making promptly, and do whatever you're going to do, but get this bill moving.
Yes, thank you. You've waited for a long time.
That's what else is.
Other questions for this panel? Thank you very much. Let's hear from XN Culver for the department. And Tim, I have not forgotten you, but we'll have you up next.
Chair Barnhart, members of the committee, my name is Xanne Culver with the Department of Revenue, and as has been stated already today, the Senate Bill 845, AMGROST, does change the distribution. 80% of the revenue remains in the fund and is allowed to be spent for the specified purposes as laid out in the AMGROST version, and then Department of Revenue will transfer 20% of that revenue, 10% to cities and 10% to counties. As is drafted right now, the city portion is spent, or is to be spent, 75% of the 10% will be based on population, as is determined by Portland State University on the day preceding the transfer. Portland State only certifies once a year, and then they do updates. So Department of Revenue would use the most recent published population with the update most recent.
And so these are all estimates.
These are all estimates.
Right.
For population.
Thank you. Questions for the department? Thank you very much. Tim Cowan, please. Is there anyone else who wants to be heard today on this measure? This is probably our only hearing on it. All right. Please.
Chair Barnhart, committee members, for the record, my name is Tim Cowan. I have the same message, it seems like. When I was a senior vice president and regional manager for First Interstate Bank, had Mid-Valley, Central, and Eastern Oregon, about $1 billion assets, in deposits and loans, my staff had to report to me float because I had to know the cost of my funds of deposits versus my cost of the loans. And I only had about 4% variance. So here's my question. When I testified once before, I said a three-day delay would represent a 1% loss. So when are the retailers going to get their money? How many layers are there? When do the retailers have to pay you the money? When does it get to the state? When does the state get it to the city or the county? So every 30 days will cost you about 10% lost revenue right off the top. And that's basically what I wanted to do, mm-hmm. is tell you about that, because that's a quick way to generate revenue. Mm-hmm. It's just you should get reports, or when anyone talks to you about revenue, they should talk to you about float. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I think it's a great message that you've brought to us. I would note the bill's relating clause is relating to distribution of monies collected as a tax imposed on the retail sale of marijuana items. You're talking really about the other side of it, and that is collections, I think. But it's a useful bit of information for us to have. Any questions for Mr. Cowan? Yes, Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I greatly appreciate your thought, because there's a lot of wisdom in that. Just very briefly, can you share with me who you're representing?
Himself.
Yourself.
Yes, I'm not representing.
I was just curious.
Yes.
On the witness registration, he wrote citizens lobbyist.
Perfect.
I have the trademark.
Yeah.
And I don't take money. I don't.
Perfect.
Do anything.
I just think there's tremendous wisdom in what you're talking about.
Thank you.
And Representative Smith, as a newcomer to the committee, I don't know that Mr. Collins has been testifying before us before this year, but he has many times in the past on issues that are valuable, and he brings valuable experience from his careers and other ideas to the committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chief.
We appreciate your testimony. With that, colleagues, we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 845. This bill isn't ready, is it? We have the dash 7, and we don't have the paperwork.
That's correct.
Okay. Will we have it tomorrow?
It's possible.
We don't know. All right. Paul, should I carry this over? Is that the way to do this, given our one-hour notice? I probably should just carry it over. Help me with the
chair. I think that's fine. I think that's the easiest. That way, at least people will know that it's a possibility.
Yeah, may be up.
And always wait till 1 hour before. But
and members need to know, too, that
right, so
we're likely to consider it and decide what they want to do.
And we can usually turn around the conflict amendments quicker.
Fairly quickly. All right. Thank you. So with that, we'll carry over till tomorrow the public hearing and work session, with the understanding we're most likely to hold a work session on Senate Bill 845. Anything else for the committee? Anything else, Paul? No? Thank you. Thank you very much. That committee is adjourned.